Hello and welcome to Elite Cadre, the Hordes and War Machine podcast that's run out of witticisms. I'm Mike.
I'm Alex.
I'm Kurt.
And I'm Nick.
This week we'll be taking a look over the releases of Gargantuans, talking a bit about the upcoming Big Four tournaments of the UK, and finally paying close attention to Makeda 3, or Makeda 3, or Makoda 3, or however you pronounce it, whatever.
Big tournaments.
Yes, four.
Or just Mac 3.
Does Smogcon not count?
No, because it's not a big tournament.
Well, it's not upcoming.
But it is upcoming.
Well, it's Smogcon next year.
It's not upcoming.
Should we just drop that one for the moment? You know,
is ETC on this year?
Don't start.
We'll get to that one later.
First up, we'll do a bit of news before we ramble more than usual.
This episode news.
Kind of.
Go with that then.
First up in the news, we've got the Stormblade Infantry Captain Signar Solo.
Captain Barnacle.
How eloquent of you, Mike.
His very fine coat with his very big shoulder pads and his nifty sword.
I'm inclined to suddenly call him Captain Barnacle. I don't know why.
They're not quite Vlad-level shoulder pads, but they're working on it.
I thought that the Seneschal had, like, taken Vlad's shoulder pads and raised the bar.
You can't say Seneschal before me. That's just not fair. I was already with Seneschal as well.
Denied.
We've already done it. We'll have to do it again.
We already did that one. You have to do it next week.
So, doubtless, this
did
thing...
Did someone mention that the Stormblades looked a bit like Mr. Ben?
They all do, yes. I did it last time.
Someone needs to paint him red.
3 months ago that you did this, Kurt.
Yeah.
I like it. Let's keep doing it. Diddle-doo.
Or actually just replace the head with one with a bowler hat on. Just saying.
Yeah, but it's the visor that's really good. It's the visor that's...
I know that's what does it, but having the hat on there would be like almost an in-joke.
It's a pastiche.
Those people over 35 or something, yeah.
See, now the fact that I got it and I'm, you know, younger than 35, it's just...
Yeah, but you like sherry and stuff, it's fine.
Anyway, we're going massively on topic, more than normal.
The Hordes and War Machine podcast that cannot stay on topic.
Yeah, true. I think for a Signar model, in inverted commas, it looks quite nice.
Why have you given those commas?
It's quite cartoony.
Oh, God, Mike, are you some sort of Signar fan or something? God, paying him a compliment like that.
There we go.
All right, the rules will be terrible. Everyone will hate it.
Doubtless it'll be more broken Signar jank, but you know, that's...
It'll fly, I expect.
They're going to be blessed or something.
He'll have a range 16 gun with his blade, I reckon.
Well, just have the extra little generators at the bottom, potentially.
I just saw that, yeah. Or it'll be an arcing node for the storm. What's it?
Let's stop now before people get ideas and move on to a proper model.
The Seneschal.
No. We have the Iron Fang Kovnik Kador Solo.
Yeah. It does look a bit familiar, doesn't he? But he's got a helmet on.
Little bit. It's sort of like, it is a bit junior Great Bear. But it looks nice, and I can't wait to own one, regardless of what the rules will be.
I think it's quite cool.
Didn't you say you were going to shorten his axe?
His axe may become a little shorter, if I'm honest.
Depends if he needs to have reach.
Yeah, but you can shorten the axe and still have reach, I think.
Oh, I suppose.
Given the Avatar's sword...
Not on my model.
Yeah, true, but you've modded your Avatar.
Okay. I'm going to be honest, I'm not massively keen on this model.
Really? Give us your reasoning.
I don't really know, to be honest with you. I don't think I do have a particular reason behind it. It just doesn't... I don't know. Maybe when I see it in the flesh, it will be... It's not that it doesn't do anything for me. It just doesn't quite look right. It's just... I can't put my finger on exactly what it is. I mean, I like the like I say, the junior Great Bear look. I like that kind of that style of Great Bears are a fantastic looking unit.
The shield something... looks a little bit too much.
Yeah, maybe it's the shield. I mean, I'm not too sure. So it may well be though when I hold it in the flesh that it does look better. I mean, I do definitely like the right hand shoulder pad with what looks like I don't know if it's going to be a bear or a lion or something sort of carved into the shoulder pad. That looks very nice.
It does. Looks cool. I mean, to be honest, also it's not blue. Let's be fair.
It's not green.
Looking at it, it is far less ornamented than the Signar one, I think. It's more in keeping with Kador's aesthetic. So
it is. Very nice.
I like it. I think that's all of our news segment, if I'm honest.
Could I say Seneschal again, just for the sake of it?
Are we allowed to talk about personal news here?
He's married again, is he?
So when are you having the operation?
No. I want to congratulate a certain host.
Really? Over what?
Am I allowed to talk about that?
You can if you want to, I guess.
So, Mike here is now a PG. Yay! Yes. Congratulations, Mike.
Thank you very much.
The show now has to have a lot more political correctness towards PP.
Does it, fuck?
Apart from Mike. No, wait, apart from the rest of us, just from Mike.
I'm fair and balanced in all things. I don't know what you're talking about.
Unless Signar involved.
He said the magic word again. It made me sad. I think rather than moving you to self-congratulatory sections.
Yeah, back patting. Back yes. Patting. Yes. Yeah, it
is very nice to be confirmed as a press ganger, so I can just go to Kev. See? Anyone can be a press ganger now.
It takes kind of the edge off it, doesn't it, really?
Yeah. I think what we should do is move on to our discussion of the highlights of the Gargantuan's book. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
If indeed there are any.
We're not going to do a full sort of...
My highlights are Imorvana, the Riphorn, and the...
the Flying Beast?
Beast Mistress.
Well, no, we're not doing individual highlights.
Unless of what anyone says, they're my highlights.
We're just doing a list of them, which are attributed to all of us.
My highlights are someone else's.
My highlights are evident on my driver's license photo.
Oh, very good, very good. We're not doing a full rundown because everyone and their dog has already done a full rundown in every podcast in the universe. So,
we're late to the party, as usual.
Well, yeah.
Alex.
Just, you know. It's not my fault we didn't record last week.
Anyway, so let's step in first with the Night Troll.
Also known as Kurt Hansen.
Badoonch.
Thank you.
Trolling at night.
Should we hand this over to you, Nick, so that you can talk about the wonder that is the Night Troll?
The Night Troll, the PP's brand newest creation, the War Beast that costs 8 points and comes with two models.
Now, you may need to explain that.
Before you wear it out.
Well, basically, you take two Night Trolls, because they come in twos, they're 8 points, and they go down the flanks. They have no command range, they can go as far as they like, and they use their animus, and everything between the two of them goes, well, fuck, now we can't go anywhere.
Unless it's got guns.
It's still not going anywhere, is it?
Yeah, but if it's got guns... It's
still not going anywhere.
Well, they just shoot the Night Trolls.
Towards the Night Trolls and Reg Face.
Night Trolls have stealth, but, you know, they have to be within 5 inches to be effective.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, it's...
So, yeah, that's kind of, yeah. Before we go into all of the models in this book, what was with the running theme in this book of giving eyeless sight to melee models? Just loving the troll there, PP. It's like, yeah, no, eyeless sight, melee model, no guns. Are you possibly going to do that? You can see through the forest,
yeah.
Yep. But you can't get to the other side.
But rush on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
But you
I'm sorry, I play trolls, what?
No. But it's not just trolls. It's all of the factions, apart from Circle, got eyeless sight on a melee model.
Also,
that's fine.
You
first
can
scorn.
Use it with Epic Doom Shaper. And his...
For Primal Shock, because the War Beast is the point of origin. Yeah. Yes, you can.
If you particularly want to power 8 Primal Shock, you know.
Get in.
better than some I've cast.
To be honest, if the one from the last book was Force Hammer as a theme, this one it's melee with Eyeless Sight. They go through phases at PP. What can we say?
I kind of like it.
Anyway, do you want to carry on with the Night Troll and explain to us what we've all missed?
So spiky! It's all spiky.
It's a very cool model from what we've seen, and the artwork looks amazing.
It does look a bit like an anglerfish, if I'm honest.
It's 4 points. The only other 4-point beast option that we had before was the Swamp Troll. And to be honest, not many people played them, unless they were playing a Jarl theme force. Or they were Kurt. Kurt seemed to have an affinity for that.
Could you explain to me the theory you had behind the running
so
the tube down the flanks and stopping anything?
The Animus Beguile. Any non-warlock model that is within 5 inches of them must advance. Like a mini Gaze of Menoth. Must advance towards
Living. They've got to be living as well.
Is it living?
Living enemy non-warlock, non-warcaster models that begin their activation within 5 inches of a model with Allure can advance only towards the nearest enemy model with Allure.
It is an anglerfish. It's got a lure.
Yes, it's got a lure.
Ba-dum-tsh. Actually, that doesn't lock them in place because they can just advance towards the nearest one.
And kick the living crap out of it.
Yes.
Because it's not that good.
Nick, your theory's terrible.
And as well, it only covers 10 inches, so you can't run two down the flank. And it has to be in control. This warlock's control area. And you kind of your whole thing of, oh, you run two down the flanks and nothing in between
not
can move.
Not two down the flanks, the farthest point to the flanks. Just down sort of the sides of your army.
So with the Nitrol, well, demolished. Should we move on to the next one?
As I was trying to say, it's 4 points. It's still probably better than a Swamp Patrol.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Why is it not better than a Swamp Patrol?
I have to admit, I can't decide if it is better or worse for 4 points than the Swamp Patrol. I'm not sure. So I'm not even going to argue that.
Swamp Patrol can drag things and eat them, and with, what's his name? Epic Madrak. You can do some very silly things with his.
Yeah.
Is it Blood Fury or?
Yeah, I believe it's units though.
Oh, is it? Okay. Scrap that then.
We're scrapping everything. I think he's higher armed than a Swamp Troll. So, Troll and Sorcerer Kurt, what do you think of this beautiful model?
Seen the model. Come on.
No, we've seen a bit of artwork.
What do you think?
But I'm excited. I am play Trolls at the moment.
He's finally got to the useful for that 1 point gap in many lists.
Very useful. Although, it's not going to be that, though, is it? Because you're going to bolt it into the essential units at the start. I think it's going to be something that you might throw one in. If you've already got one, you're having a second one because it's FA2. But I think because of the first in the list of his magic abilities, which is Arcane Antidote, it's going to be in there at the start, I think. But it's nice to have a one point model that can be attached to. Is the word attached? Is the right word, isn't it?
It's an adjunct.
It's an adjunct. It's a client without using the client wording.
It's very odd. It's so you can still have. Actually, can Trolls take Bacurs? I can't remember.
Yes, you can. It's so you can still have Bacurs on the model, on the unit. The client was also per model, whereas this is the entire unit is the client.
Yeah.
You can't have Ogrim, Bacur, and Trolls.
Yes, you can.
Kurt's suddenly going, really?
What? I'd never even considered it. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, it's lovely. I think it's awesome. What we've really been missing is a way to dump upkeeps out of Trolls without having to have something stupid like the Throg.
Yeah, just a Throg standing behind your own lines to go, oop, we've got an enemy upkeep on you. Slap.
3 points, yeah.
I'm probably
this is, which is that sounds like a quote. Yeah, 1 point where you attach to a unit that can knock it off, but it also gives it a nice range attack and... yeah, knocking out things like out of sight and a few other bits and pieces is really nice. I like it a lot.
It's also so it activates first and then the unit can activate at a later point. So,
which is a nice thing actually. Well, like it's not attached properly. It's adjuncted.
So it is a solo. Okay, so it's solo. So it is client. Yeah.
So it's solo. So it can activate. It can get rid of the upkeep and then the unit can activate as normal if they're crippling grasps or something like that.
That was exactly the spell I was thinking of.
Yeah. Which you can do because Arcane Antidote is an action, not an attack.
Also, if the solo is crippling grasped, then the unit isn't.
Yeah, true.
Yes, that's pretty much it. It's lovely. I like it a lot. 1 point, well spent.
I just, if the enemy's got no upkeeps for your stuff, you've still got Ice Bolt and Winter Storm.
Yeah.
And he's got a magical weapon as well, which, you know, it's a bit of a corner case because of the low map, but if there's a Pistol Wraith just hanging around there or... maybe some annoying Black Bane's Ghost Riders. You've got a chance to try and clear something out first, potentially.
Actually, you said he's got a magical weapon, but then Ice Bolt is a magical attack, magical ranged attack, and that's higher. It's effectively not magic six, but magic six.
It is one higher, but you've got to watch out for the target in melee penalty.
Yeah, that's true. But also then, as I get another little bolt in, Winter Storm kills off Isle of Sight, Flight, Pathfinder.
But if you're in melee with the thing, you don't get target in melee penalty.
Yeah, but I was talking about if the unit was... Anyway, there's a lot of flexibility there, I think we can agree.
And also, just think, go back to the Ogrim Bokka that we just mentioned. It's mercenary. It's not minion at all.
Oh, okay. I was trying to get War Room up, but it wasn't working.
That's what I thought. I was thinking it's not ever minion.
Oh, it's good. Gudrun's what I'm thinking of. Gudrun is Trolls.
He's a solo, yeah. He's his own thing. He's not a
Bokka. But he's also got the client rule than the Bokka's.
No, he doesn't. Moving on.
Yeah, let's move on swiftly while Nick tries to...
Flounder.
Okay, so that's the sorcerer done. Let's move on to...
Maybe he doesn't. Wow, you learn something new every day.
There we go. Let's move on to...
He's not blue, I know. Sorry, Mike.
Are you quite done?
I am.
Okay. Let's move on to Epic Morvana.
Mm-hmm. Move back to Epic Morvana. Oh, back to the future.
Don't even start. So, Alex, do you want to talk about Epic Morvana?
Oh, she's lovely.
I think there's a tissues joke in there somewhere.
Quite probably. There's just so much goodness from Epic Morvana.
She is very, very tasty.
Do you want to talk about her at all? You know, why?
Yeah. The main reason is the... everything, really. I'm not going to lie.
There is that small problem with Epic Morvana. It's like, what's the weak point?
You can potentially kill yourself? No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't. I've used him again. I've only played with her once. And you tend to find that she burns through her health, but then, you know, stuff starts dying, so you then get your health back.
And you've got Carnivore to help balance it out as well.
Yeah, you've got Carnivore as well. I mean, I played her the other day. I played her at 35 points. I played with a full unit of Tharn with the unit attachment, and a full unit of Skinwalkers with 8 unit attachment. Bringing back those 8 hitbox models for potential scenario usage. And I didn't actually use the feat in the end. But Carnivore with those 2 units, it's kind of counterintuitive because they both have abilities that relate to them, destroy models. So obviously the Carnivore removes them from play. So it's kind of a little counterintuitive for those. But nonetheless, I mean, she was for the majority of the game, so without using the feet, running around sort of 5 hitboxes.
Is that because of then, Scales of Fate?
Scales of Fate, yeah, you know, taking the D3.
Scales of Fate, for reference, yeah, you do take the D3 to re-roll an attack or damage roll from a friendly faction model anywhere in her control area.
It's like Calandra on steroids. It's amazing.
It is incredible, an incredible ability. It's so useful. For those charges that you need to get to hit and they miss by 1 or 2, you know, to be able to re-roll that for D3 hit points on Morvana, it's very, very good.
You have to be a little bit careful, but I think having suits on player...
It's very similar to Harbinger and the rule is
Martyrdom.
Yeah, it's very similar to that in that you know, you kind of, it's that calculated risk of, you know, do you lose the health for the potential benefits. And I mean, I used it to great effect to destroy a colossal conquest. You know, though that damage roll, the charge damage roll that you get like a 1/1/3 on, you know, just to be able to re-roll in all 3 dice again.
Yeah.
You know, she's really, really good. She's very good.
I said, it's like Calandra is there. And the other thing is, she's not as much at risk as Harbinger is because she's a warlock. She's got transfers. As long as she's got beasts alive, she can happily camp 1, 2, 3 a turn. And, oh, look, you're on 5 health. You're going to have to get 4 shots into me before I'm in danger.
I think one of the key things about with her as well is that she just has almost every win condition imaginable. You've got her feet, which brings back models in her control area, so you can attrition really well.
Yep.
You've got her feet again, which you can go, okay, I'll move up and I'll bring back an arc node in the back arc of your caster, which is hilarious. And then start arcing through that to spell assassinate, so, you know.
She only has 1 shitty nuke, though, doesn't she?
She got Death Knell as well.
Oh, yeah, Death Knell. Death Knell's
but
cool.
It's Sunder Spirit, Pair 12 skill casters.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, we've said that before. And the other thing is, she's actually got a proper melee assassination as well, which is so bizarre. So that she's speed 8, so she can charge in and then use her mount attack for its knockdown purposes. Now, you may want to remember you can't boost the to-hit roll.
Why?
Mount, because it's a mount.
Right. Still part of her. It's a weapon of her.
No, but it's a mount, though. You cannot boost mount attack or damage rolls.
Where have you read that?
In the rule book.
Mount attack rolls can be boosted by spells and such things. I believe you just cannot spend fury to boost.
They can gain additional dice, but they cannot be boosted.
Okay.
But that's for straight mount attack rolls. So,
I've never had a mounted caster, so I've never really tried, but I thought you could. Oh, no, that's a lie. Of course, I've got 3 options.
It's to stop things like transference with Vlad and the Ulans, because they've got the crit knockdown, essentially. Anyway, going off topic. So she can go in with the ram, potentially knock you down, and then she's got a reach magical weapon with Life Trader.
Oh, yes.
So she can suffer a damage point to become a weapon master. What?
Yep, so she gets a boosted charge roll and then she goes bam, 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 bam.
And she's still power 12 with a weapon. It's utterly...
And Scales of Fate still applies to her as well.
Yeah, it's... Admittedly, you can burn through your health, but the thing is, you know, if you fail an assassination run, you're probably dead anyway. So...
What do you mean? She can, like, have a way at the end of it.
Doesn't ignore free strikes, though, does it?
I'm joking. Really? Because someone was screaming that at their player right now.
Yeah, I'll like have away. Okay, you take a free strike from Butcher. Oh, damn. Forced to hit and... lots of damage. Anyway, great caster. Good. Yeah.
With that light cav movement, she's just effectively got teleport for free every turn.
Okay, so up next we have the Gateman Bacor and Bogtrog Swamp Shamblers.
AKA Alexia for minions.
Not quite, but close.
Close enough.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that one. Do you want to go through this one, Nick?
Can do.
Well, I thought seeing as you brought it up, it might, you know.
Yeah! And you're blatantly stalling now where you're trying to find it.
Oh, I'm not. It's the Gateman Bacor and Bog Swamp Shamblers. They're a minion unit. Minion unit. Wow, that's really weird to say.
My word. What have you taken or been smoking?
They cost 6 points, which is one more than Alexia, because they realise how broken Alexia is. The Bacor is a medium-based croc who's got two attacks, a power 12 and a power 10. He's amphibious, and he has death magic. Death magic is Alexia's crazy rule. Go look it up. It's bonkers good.
And it's very long, and yeah.
Yeah. He also has magic ability. He has a magic ability called Hand of Glory, which I'm sure was BMD's weapon. But anyway, range
oh,
three.
No. That's Hand of God.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So you can have the Hand of God and the Hand of Glory now.
Yeah.
It's a range 3 magic attack that makes things stationary. Which is pretty cool.
It's interesting, but you can't do it on a charge, and it's only magic ability 6. It's kind of range 3, really.
Can't do it on a charge.
That's what I said, you can't do it on a charge.
Yeah, it's star attack, so yeah. You think you would be able to, but you can't.
No, it's because it's not on a weapon.
Yeah, exactly.
It's. I think that's a corner case thing, if I'm honest.
I mean, it's pretty interesting. You can use it on Borka and it works. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, because it's not cold-based.
Not cold-based.
Weird.
Ooh. I've just tweaked all the factions that it works for all the factions.
Yeah, minions tend to, normally.
I suppose they do. I suppose I got a bit fixated on gators being in a gator army. I forgot that I just work for other people.
Everything works for trolls anyway, Kurt, so...
This is true. I kind of just got fixated on, undead gators, that'll be for just gators then. I didn't really think it through.
Yeah. They're undead, they have CMA.
They're slightly higher than POW, MAT, than Risen.
The one thing they do really lose out on is that he can't make thralls.
Yeah, no, I think the main thing he misses out on is no ranged attack off the Bacor, because boosted hand cannons with Alexia is great. So minions.
So he can't
really
make more swap shamblers.
Oh, he can.
Death magic.
No, it's raised dead.
Oh, raised dead. Sorry, raised dead allows him to make more.
Okay. Oh, see, he can't upgrade them, is what he's saying, right?
Upgrade them to thralls. He can just make more and more and more. So he's great for everybody, including minions, because Rask loves him. He actually ups them up to FA2 in his tier list, and then can play around with two of those and call to sack the Swamblers.
We're on form, aren't we?
Swamp
Swamblers on Wimbledon Common.
Swamsies. The Swamp Zombies. Zal loves them because he kills his guys. They turn into Swamp Zombies, and then he's got more tokens.
And there's 6 points for unit 10. That's really nice.
Taskmaster loves them. Yeah, they're just pretty cool.
How much is Alexia?
5.
And they're 6. Okay, that's still pretty good.
Yeah, they're bad. They're bad version of Alexia, but it shows you how good Alexia really is.
Oh, good. I like them.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That's the Bacor and Swamp Shamblers.
And my terrible explanation.
Yeah, it'll do for now. While we're on the subject of terrible explanations, Hunter's Grim, go.
Hunter's grim.
Yeah, rather than singing about them, if someone could just take this one up and...
Mugs, Crump and Grim, the Hunter's Grim. The bowler hat lied.
I like the stalling. The stalling's fantastic, Nick.
Yeah, this is a... Where's the unit card? I can't quite find it. 10 minutes later.
Oh, I just say the word over and over again. Don't do an interview, Nick. It doesn't work.
What are you talking about? Anyway, am I going with Hunter's Grim or someone else? Because I just talked about the Swamp Zombies.
Well, this is another one of your suggestions, so...
Fair enough. Hunter's Grim, so Grim 2. Although they're not called Grim Angus anywhere, so... Ooh, does this mean they're... Oh. No, anyway.
Shut it.
His feet is pretty cool. We talked about that before. Grim's stayed exactly as he was. The only thing that's changed for him is he's lost Bait Line, and instead he's got something called Blood Law.
And he's lost True Sight as well, hasn't he?
And he's also lost True Sight, yeah. His goggles stopped working.
There is a reason for that.
Instead, he gained Mage Sight on his spell list, so it'll make up for it. The unit as a whole is granted reform by Mugs, I think. Yeah, Mugs grants reform. So they get the 3-inch move afterwards, so Grim can obviously walk into range, shoot, and walk away again. Spell list is pretty sweet. Mage Knight, Mirage, Pursuit, and one of the new best spells in the game, Mortality. -2 death, -2 arm spell, which isn't an upkeep, which is crazy good.
It's a,
I was going to say, sorry to cut you off a little bit. You said his stats haven't changed. I was thinking, that's unusual. That's the first epic not to have stats changed. His rat's gone up by one. He's now rat 8.
Okay, sorry. His rat went up by one.
That's quite important.
That is reasonably important, actually. I'm sorry. I took a quick glance and went, that looks about the same as Grim 1.
It does, but I was thinking every epic has gained a stat somewhere that I can think of. I can't think anybody has not had it, but
it's probably to do with the loss of True Sight because he can no longer ignore cover.
Yeah, that's true. Not cover concealment.
No, he can still ignore, well, some aspects of concealment with Mage Sight.
Yeah.
But he can't ignore cover at all anymore.
Yeah.
Sad times.
Indeed. So yeah, so that's Grim himself. His two little pigs. He's got Mugs, who's grabbed his...
I'll just take you up on mortality there. Yeah. Yeah, it's an absolutely fantastic spell. Probably not the right model for it to be fantastic on. It's going to be good on him. I just think, you know, on a caster with, say, one more Fury and also possibly Arc Nodes, it would be a lot better.
Lack of Arc Nodes does hurt it. But it is range 10, so it's still pretty good.
It's hampered. Should we say on him?
Okay, fair enough. Mugs has taken up his snare gun, and Mugs the one that gives him reform. Crump's got grants them circular vision, so Grim can shoot out of his arse. And he's also got a star action called Trapper, which allows him to place a 5-inch AoE down anything that goes into the AoE that's any living or undead model, so no constructs. Take a power 10, and if they're damaged by the power 10, they get knocked down. Flying models and in-corp models don't get hit by it, which is a bit of a shame, but you know.
It's a pretty good ability, though.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Put the Night Troll behind it. Haha, come here, my friend. No?
No.
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 Damn. I'm trying here. I'm always trying.
You are very trying. I will agree with that one. It's good. It adds possibly something a little bit different to Trolls. Having Mirage is going to be very interesting for Trolls anyway. It's like, my Fen Blades go in and now they back up and charge you again. Which is slightly ridiculous.
Vengeance. Mirage forward, Vengeance 3.
Or even Vengeance to attack you, then Mirage out and charge again.
No, Mirage happens before upkeeps and such things.
Troll phase, no.
So does Vengeance.
Yeah.
Vengeance is before that. Vengeance is maintenance phase.
Yep, maintenance control.
So you could Vengeance, and then Mirage
back, and then charge in.
Yeah, that's what I just said, and you said no. Yeah,
okay, sorry.
Okay.
I'm getting everything wrong tonight. That's been a long day.
And you are Nick.
Yes.
I am Nick. It's correct, Nick Topham Show. We've been without it for a while. Yeah. I've been spending all my rightness on the rules forums. I've been having this effect where I say something on the rules forums, Valanda walks in and goes, what he said, lock thread.
Anyway, let's move on from Grim. Yes, good. I'm glad we all agree on that.
I like the look of Grim. Just like to say that. I kind of want to play that.
He's certainly interesting.
I of want to proxy it just to play about with it, even though I'm not playing Trolls at the moment. So I've got a lot of potential there that I think is hard to grasp on the page. You kind of want to try it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all.
You can tell he's back.
You can.
Why is the phone going again? It's miles away.
Okay. I'll believe you thousands would.
I'm one of the thousands.
Yeah. Alex, as you're back, should we move on to one of your choices, which was Despoiler?
Yeah, we can do. In a minute, though, I've just dropped the jaw piece off my Skinwalker Alpha, the tiny little mouthpiece, onto the floor, into a pile of lots of other tiny little pieces of metal.
That was silly. What did you do that for?
I just thought it'd be fun to crawl around on the floor for probably the best part of half an hour. I'll talk about Despoiler down here.
So Alex, now sitting on his floor, on his hands and knees, is going to talk about the spoiler.
I can't see my computer, so I don't know what it does anymore.
It's Scorn.
It is Scorn. It is Scorn.
Well done.
This is Mordekaiser's character, Rhinodon, and it's rather nice. I'm going to actually look at what he does.
I love how none of us are helping him. It's
difficult funny this way. More interesting.
I'd appreciate if you helped me look for this piece of fucking thing.
I would, but
it's got either side.
Well, to be fair, you do keep not telling me where your house is. I don't know why.
Is it a melee beast by any chance, Kurt?
It is an either side. Let me just check. Sword. There are no guns.
But it's got either side.
Got either side.
Good job, PP. What's with the trolling?
It could get rushed, though.
It can get rushed. This is true. It can get rushed.
Yep.
I would say they did it with Legion, but you know all the Legion beasts have either sight, so the Inflictor doesn't really count.
It is, as far as I could tell, a standard Rhinodorn. I think Rhinodorn's about 5, and then this is about 6, without looking, because I haven't got the book.
I'll be honest, I have never looked at the Rhinodorn card.
I've never seen a Rhinodorn.
No, I have. It's got 2 flimsy claws and a fairly smacky tail, but it's his other stuff that's really good.
Yeah, it's all the special rules that make him.
Sorry?
Yeah. I'll work in a minute. It's his special rules that make him.
He's got an affinity with Mordekaiser, which basically gives him Dark Shroud. So any models within 2 inches gain -2 armour, which makes all those weapons a bit harder.
Yeah, just when a Bronzeback doesn't hit quite hard enough.
Although with him stood next to the target, a Bronzeback would hit quite well.
Yes, very
good. That's basically, I can't take out 3 Colossals in a turn. Oh, wait.
No, yes, now you can. I can. With one beast.
Just.
Well, 2 if you count that one, but. You know,
oh.
One beast doing the attacking.
Just horrible, ridiculous, insane.
He's fairly horrific.
To be fair, is he any good without Mordekaiser? That's the question.
Yeah, yes, he is. I really like his animus. I think the Arcane Suppression.
He's got Alexia's ability on an animus, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
Well, Arcane Suppression floats around other places, but you combine that with, what's his face? What's the Signar Rebel guy in the red cloak? He's got Arcane Suppression as well, isn't he? Orin with him as well. 2 10-inch bubbles, bigger than 10-inch bubbles with him because he's bigger, but 2 bubbles of 10-inch, no magic. That's quite nasty.
There's some armies that will just shut down entirely. I see you're playing Ran. Arcane Suppression, Orin. Right, have fun.
I see you're playing Doomshaper 1 tier list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Any army with a Waldrath in it?
That will be very sad. Well, that said, the Waldrath can just come up and smack your spoiler in the face.
That is one option.
And we'll probably win that fight.
Well, with Death 11, Arm 18, and 30 boxes, yeah, it's a berserker.
I quite like the Grant's 1-3 upkeep. That's quite nice.
Yeah,
I found it.
War beast.
It's really weird.
I just found it.
Sorry.
I don't even like Scorn. So can you take it of your own faction, please? I'm trying to sound all enthusiastic about Scorn.
I think
don't get Scorn. Don't understand Scorn. I like, they're there. And I don't hate them, but you're just like. Ugh.
The rule as well, it's got the death gate where it can replace a once per round a living enemy model, warrior model. If it's boxed within 2 inches of the despoiler, it can be replaced with a void spirit, which is quite nice.
Now, the despoiler is 10 points, but having that ability to go, I'll just have a void spirit, that kind of starts chipping away at how much it is a little.
Do you know the best thing about that is, though?
Go on.
You can turn warcasters and warlocks into void spirits.
If they're boxed, you've just won anyway.
You
could ignore the tough on trolls and stuff, couldn't you?
No, because that comes disabled. Disabled, boxed, destroyed.
Boxed, tough. Disabled, destroyed.
Boxed, disabled, destroyed.
No.
A box is tough as well, isn't it?
Boxed is the last box. Disabled
Disabled is when you've ticked the last box. Then you go to boxed once it's sort of failed tough. So it's in the box, and then it's destroyed.
I thought it was tough, it was a boxed.
It's tough. Disabled, boxed, destroyed.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so you get the tough before you get to... Okay. I always thought remove when boxed negated tough, but clean up.
There we go.
Okay.
Anyway,
filthy cheaper.
See? I can't argue with PG anymore.
I wasn't cheating. I'm the one that's tough.
You've been cheating yourself out of tough. Tough is mandatory. So yeah,
that's how I've got sportsmanship trophies on the shelf.
You lose, but you lose with style.
Look and learn, laddie. Look and learn.
Look and learn. Indeed.
One of them's made of glass. It's great.
I love the fact that just Void Spirit dropping them in the middle of armies and watching everything take terror checks is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's abomination, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an A bomb.
That's even worse.
I've just revert back to my Menoth at this point and go, I just fearless, I hope.
I have that same thing with Kano. It's like, I think it's fearless. If not, it's got a standard, it's fine.
If it's got big shoulder pads, it's fearless. If it's not, I'm not sure. Probably is.
Big shoulder pads or a silly headdress kind of thing.
Well, the big shoulder pads is always definite. If it's Menoth and it's got big shoulder pads, yeah, it's fearless.
Okay. Could always go down the Mark 1 cavalry rules. If it's got testicles and a penis, it's fearless.
My gunblaze is fearless.
I don't know. I said Mark 1.
They're not. They broke it.
Some jacket you're talking about, isn't it?
I know all the fearless models. All the fearless cavalry in Mark 1 had...
they played like they had
genitalia.
A
genitalia. Yeah, and then the non-fearless one didn't have genitalia.
Fair enough.
There we go.
Shit you not.
For some reason, my gun mages, my gun blazers have them, but they're not fearless.
Well,
they did away with it. A couple of the units that had fearless in Mark 1 lost it in Mark 2.
Okay.
So. Anyway, screaming.
Let's move on to another heavy war beast now. Not a character one. It's the Riphorn Satyr.
Oh, my God.
Feral replacement.
Alex, because you're frothing in the mouth, we'll let you talk about this.
Carry on with the tissues. Get the tissues out.
For a start, irresistible force, it's animus, it costs 2 bulldoze. It's only on self, so you're only really going to cast it on that.
I don't know, there might be reasons you'd put it on things like Chromac.
No, well, yeah, there is that.
Or Morvana.
Indeed, yeah.
Speed 8 cavalry charge, I'll just go through here, please.
And then on the light cav move, I'll bulldoze that out of the way.
It's only a normal movement, isn't it?
During its activation.
And bulldoze is light cav is during its activation before.
After.
Because you can light cav and then sprint away.
I'm feeling very ill right about now.
Yeah.
That's
horrible. It's very good. It's very good. It's aggressive. It plays aggressively because it can charge and.
Run and charge without spending fury.
Even.
Yeah.
Without spending focus or being. Forced.
So he's
got that focus efficiency there. Hard head, which is the same with all the satyrs, it adds its power of the horns to the headbutt and slam power attack. And it's also got chain attack, grab and slash with its bladed gauntlets at a meager power strength 16.
Which, yeah, it doesn't really sound like much, but Circle has access to Primal and Wild Aggression. It's like, oh, that's stacking up to be pretty nasty already. Let's just say, it's got 3 base attacks, all at the same P plus S, Fury 4, and it's 9 points.
Yes, it's very good.
I don't think it takes away, I mean, some people have been saying it replaces the Feral entirely. It does have things like a lower death, and it's got fewer hitboxes, and it's kind of, there are still reasons why you might take a Feral, including Mat 7.
Kaya doesn't care.
Pardon?
Kaya doesn't care.
About what?
Tier 4.
She's got the data.
But yeah, it's just an all-round solid beast. And Armour 19 in Circle is different when it's not made of stone. It's actually
Boulder likes that as well. Put Roots of Earth on it.
No, Boulder likes Getarix.
Yeah, but you can both.
Yeah, true. No, it's just an utterly bonkers war beast. And,
I say, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a replacement for the Feral, but you may well see it along with the Feral, maybe even as a replacement for the Stalker.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's different uses, I think.
Doesn't have reach, but there's some interesting stuff in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put it with P. Kruger, it's got reach.
Pardon?
Put it with P. Kruger and it's got reach.
I'm starting to feel ill again. Ooh. Reach and Electro Leap. Ooh. It's almost like playing Signar.
Better on Gators, though.
No, better on Nis.
Oh, yeah.
Nis with Reach are lovely. Okay, so the next model we've got in our selection of highlights, the Fenblade Kithkar.
Oh, just as I picked a paintbrush up, hang on. Yeah. I like this. A 2-point, beefy, smacking in the face solo for trolls. Most of our offensive solos are 3 points.
It's crazy good.
It's a Fenblade. So it's speed 6, standard stats. It's mat 7, which is nice. It's armor 15. It's gained an armor point of armor from somewhere.
And don't forget one of its abilities as well.
What, Righteous Vengeance?
No, Unyielding.
Unyielding.
Yeah, yeah. That's, again, it's got standard. That's on top of it. It's got standard. It's hard. It's got Righteous Vengeance, like different Vengeance.
It's a commander.
It's a commander as well, with command 9. That's nice.
Yeah, you can put it near Digmies and they won't just run away at the first sign of anything.
Yeah, with the end of the commander solo is 3 points, and you kind of look at the champion solo and you kind of go, it's good, but you tend to leave it at home.
It's got Tactician Fenblade.
Yep,
which is pretty sweet. And then it's not 5 wounds, it's 8.
Well, all of the solos are 8 because of trolls. Yeah. But it's got 2 reach weapons at power strength 13. Nice.
It's like, how is this 2 points? How does it have this many rules and it's 2 points?
Not weapon master. Maybe that's it.
I was going to say maybe they left off tough, but no, it's there.
Sorry, what? Choking without tough. Show me the choking without tough.
Well, you said it was 2 points. Why else would it be 2 points?
It's got forgotten. And going, oh, no, it's 2 points. What do you mean it's 2 points? Well, it's got tough.
It's got reach. It's got...
Twice.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's going to get in there. It's going to get stuck in and...
FA2.
Yeah. And it takes away the occasional line of sight problems that you have with medium bases. Admittedly, yeah, that doesn't happen too often with the Fenblades, but it can.
What's laughable is when you compare him to the other 2-point so-called offensive solo, the Scout.
Oh, you mean the Skinner?
Skinner, yeah.
Skinner.
Why would you ever play a Skinner when you can now have a Kith Car?
When you can now have two Kith Car.
Two Kith Car.
Yeah.
It's really challenging now. The Scout, you look at it and go, that was 1 point, I'd be quite happy.
Scouts are good. What are you talking about? You're talking about the Skinner.
Skinner, you're right. I keep
Scouts saying
Scouts are good. It's the Skinner. The Skinner solo, you kind of go, I don't understand. I've used them, and they can be quite effective, but they're not that effective. He's nice. We like him.
Yeah, he looks good. He looks good.
Well,
how would you say the Righteous Vengeance work, though? How did he's...
The Righteous Vengeance, one or more friendly faction warrior models were destroyed or removed from play within 5 inches. Then he gets a vengeance move.
Oh, okay. Just,
it's like a Menoth thing. It's like the way Menoth has Righteous Vengeance on several of its jacks and half the army. All right, it's like exaggeration.
They are half the army that Kurt's playing.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you. It's a good, solid 2-point solo. There's nothing wrong with it. You would always pay 2 points for something like that.
Pay 4 points for two. Admit it.
So it's definitely worth its 2 points more than some 3-point solos are worth their three.
It's also got, right, it's in Trolls, and Trolls is the faction of lots and lots and lots of buffs. So it's like, how many buffs can I possibly give this one model and send it off like a rocket to explode in a shower of glory?
Yeah, Power Strength 16. It hasn't got Weapon Master, but it's Power Strength 16 with Rage on it, twice, match 7, unyielding. So when it gets there, its defense is armor 17, but if it's somehow in the Rage of Stone, it's armor 19 solo, that's 2 points. What? Sorry, what? I'm sorry, what?
With 8 wounds.
Basically, you're discovering why I like the Draken for half the number of points.
And if you really want to, if you're playing it with Epic Madrak, you can put Blood Rage onto it.
Didn't we have this discussion earlier?
So, Blood Fury, you mean?
Blood Fury, yeah.
Isn't that units?
Is it units, or is it unit or solo?
It's not.
Because I thought Madrak can put it on himself. I thought it was Warrior.
Oh, never mind. We'll go around circles a few times first. This is not knowing anything about Trolls.
I'm sure it's Warrior model.
I'd probably like to point out, I'm not playing Trolls at the moment.
I'm also not playing Trolls at the moment.
Is that what you talk shit?
Well, to be fair, Nick, you did rage quit, so... Warrior model unit.
Yeah, well done.
There you go.
It was at the same time.
So, yeah. So
nice. I looked at a book, though, you know?
So you can put I believe it's Warrior model stroke unit on Blood Fury.
So you can put Blood Rage onto it, put Rage onto it, and then shoot it off like a rocket, get it under the stone. It'll then be PNS 17 Weapon Master on the charge.
Yeah, I think we can all agree, it's ridiculous for 2 points.
Shiny. Gonna make it a long brown coat.
Should we move on to the next choice now, which is the Tharn Blood Pack?
Is that another one of mine?
That's one of mine. I'm actually going to change this one.
Not loud.
Sorry.
Assault and Battle.
Skinwalker Alpha.
Not loud, we did that one.
We've already talked about it.
Done. Moving on.
So Tharn Blood Pack then.
Yeah.
It's gone off while he was away in the bathroom.
With the tissues.
Don't.
And the picture of him on his
phone call.
He's not talking to us now.
The blood pack. I like the blood pack. They give a new level of diversity to circle with a longer range unit. Really, I think they are a more range focused unit than the sort of combined arms you'll maybe build as in the.
Well, they've got their super hand cannon, which is essentially a bow.
Yeah, I say it is super hand cannon. They've got the key thing for them though is assault and battery, where they can make a run or a charge after making range attack.
Run away. Do you know what's hilarious? Poppy Morvana's feet, put them in the back arc, assault and battery. You could do it and then run away.
You can't have an action.
You use the order. The order gives you the shot and then the charge will run order. It does work. It has been ruled. So you put them in the back arc, you assault and battery and then run away. They either have to turn around and walk towards your guys or they get another shot in the back arc and come in charging in the next turn.
Yeah, because the shot isn't part of their action.
That's had loose friends, that is.
Sorry.
Admittedly, this does rely on you ridding yourself. Actually, no. you'd need to get one of the models there first, because you can't return whole units.
Yeah, so you need at least one model on the front line.
So when they start dying, when you've nearly got none left, you desperation run them. But if you run them this turn, you've got to activate them this turn.
Yeah, you have to do it.
It's complicated.
But if you can do it, if you can pull it off.
This is just getting complicated, frankly. I think the only real concern about this unit is that it is 10 points for 6 models or 7 points for 4.
So what you're saying is you could take Nissans instead. Anyway.
They are a little expensive. I mean, they do have Tree Walker and stuff like that, but...
I think they're
Mat 7 and Rat 6, though, as well. They are certainly more than tasty.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, have we done enough about the Blood Pack?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the next one, which is the... I'd forgotten how bonkers and broken this one was. Yeah. It's the Legion Beast Mistress.
Oh, God. Leather pants.
So, Legion got a lesser warlock.
She's a lesser warlock.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Draconic consort. She's not actually a lesser warlock. She's a draconic consort.
Oh, she just shares a lot of lesser warlock rules.
Yeah.
All of them, in fact.
She's not a warlock that can only take lesser war beasts. She's Fury 4 and has Blood Rain and Energizer.
Very nice.
Oh, and Field Marshal, aggressive, so that all those little gribbly things that she's got with her can charge.
Harriers and stingers and shredders.
Yeah, they can charge and run for free.
Lovely.
It just... there's no justice in the world.
I always thought that the Legion were underpowered and needed something just like this.
Yeah, they need something to help the beasts as well. The units are that overpowered that they need something to help the beasts.
If nothing else, you can take this for 5 points and have 5 tenacities on a stick that the rest of your army doesn't have to worry about. Pay 7 points and you can have 5 tenacities on a stick and have some transfers.
Pay 6 points and get a holiday for 2 in the Maldives.
If nothing else,
that's a bit of an awkward one because if you only have one shredder, then I think she needs to start cutting herself every turn.
Which would be funny.
That's true. Yes, she does.
How'd it fit with her image?
So it's a little bit of an awkward one, but you can do it.
But still, yeah. If nothing else, 7 points for task.
How many times can one person say "if nothing else"?
Oh, I don't know.
If nothing else, I'll say "if nothing else" again before the end of this podcast.
Just as a special sort of cherry on the top of this, by the way, she does have flank
with
lesser war beasts.
I thought you were going to say, as some kind of mitigating, that Nick was closer to me than I thought I could hit him.
So if she's flanking something, she's Mat 7 Power 9 Weapon Master.
Lovely.
She
seems pretty good. Don't start. We've had enough of that now. Come on.
In-game monster. In-game nightmare. She's great.
Yeah, absolutely nasty. 3 points of just horribleness.
Just to clarify, you cannot spawn things out of the pot and put them into her battle group, which is a relief.
Oh, yes. That
would be stupid if you could.
That's much a relief. Right, should we move on to something that Kurt's chosen now? I think it was one of Kurt's choices. I can't quite remember.
Midas.
Yeah, Midas.
Yeah, that'd be me. Because I actually play pigs.
Occasionally.
Midas nearly broke.
Along with, like, Menoth and Trolls and Signar and...
I'm sorry. Take that back. Alright, I can see some Signar from here. So
yeah, exactly. It's like, we know you were doing those strange Signar
models. Yeah, I got bored. I didn't finish painting any of that at all. I'm already trying to pimp some of it off.
Yeah. Oh, God, Midas. Why are you so good?
Midas, it's very nice. Why are you take a faction that you can't go, yeah, faction is kind of, yeah, it's good fun. Yeah, and you go, what the hell is he? He's a bone grinder warlock. Get in. He's rather nice. He's got reasonable stats. Nothing really to write home about. But he's got an interesting collection of spells. Like, I'm going to start in the middle of nowhere. He's got Calamity. Suddenly all of the kind of half-hearted pig units can hit things really well.
It is a bit awkward, lacking as he does the pork node to go with it.
He's never getting a pork node.
Friendly bottom, yeah.
Yeah, you still need to actually stick it on something within range 8. And
it's range 10, though, isn't it? Because he'll always 8. Have friend grinders.
Oh, okay, of course.
I always say that about trolls, but this is a pharaoh that always can have bone grinders, so every one of those spells is +2 on their range, so almost guaranteed. Unlike, you know, you can try and say that about the other factions, but this is where it really applies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's also going to cost him 4 to stick Calamity on anything, pretty much. Because it's 3 to cast and then 1 to boost. He's only Fury 6.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, but he's not only Fury 6, is he?
Well, ish.
Butchery.
Yeah. No, it's... basically, if a Living War Beast destroyed or removed from play while in his control area, he gets a token, and you can remove up to 3 of those and get up to 3 Fury points.
Key points there being can and up to, meaning yes. You don't have to spend them all, and meaning he can do it whenever he wants.
It's a once-per-turn effect.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'll get back to the top. He has Bad Blood, which is rather tasty and screws around with War Beasts.
Oh man, Bad Blood just basically gives Gargantuan the middle finger.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I cast that on your Archangel. Have fun.
Everyone thought Rask was the answer to Gargantuan's. No, Midas.
And just for fun as well, he's got Hex Blast. Just, you know.
Nice bit of dispel.
Oh, and don't forget, there is one blast spell in his list. You know, you probably never cast it. Battle Lust, it's, you know.
What do you mean, never cast it?
Yeah, it's just...
Hasn't he actually looking at his tier list, hasn't he got pretty much a requirement to have slaughterhouses? Oh, he does.
Yeah, he does. You know, those the 5 dice slaughterhouses on the charge. They're never going to kill anything, are they?
No.
Especially if Calamity's up and they're +2 damage.
I quite like the way his feet dovetails in with his tier list, where his tier list gives you a free dead war beast, which is weird, and Pet Cemetery, his feet, brings back dead war beast to life.
All I can say is icing on the cake that pigs are never getting a Gargantuan, because being able to take a free Gargantuan as a tier list, as a tier 4 for your tier list, so then just bring it back for free.
Yeah, it's dead. Oh, what do you mean? I get a free war beast, but a free Gargantuan, but it's dead. What?
Pop feet, look, Gargantuan.
Yeah, with 3 wounds. What?
No, because he can spend fury to increase.
I know. We can make it better. Yeah, it's rather nice.
Does the war beast get to activate the turn it comes back in?
Yes, it can't spend fury, but it cannot be forced, but it can activate.
Well, I could see them getting it. I can't see that overly broken on...
Actually, there is a way they can do it.
Targs can also heal them.
They could make the Gargantuan for pigs character, because force, the dead war beast can't be a character.
That's true.
Yeah.
So Targ, I wouldn't rule it out. It's unlikely, but you know.
Midas loves Targ. Just going to put that out there. If you're not playing Targ with Midas, you're probably doing something wrong, unless you're playing in tier. So I don't think you take it in tier. But Targ, because Midas pops his feet, Targ heals everything before it can then activate and do whatever.
One more beast.
He can take it because solos, Pharaoh solos.
Yeah, okay. He can.
Fair enough. Hang on, isn't this that Midas is the rule redundancy all over the place? So it says Pharaoh solos and then this Roshan Brine as well, doesn't it? They are by death a Pharaoh solo. The lesser warlock stuff, solos.
Well, yeah, but they usually be specific. These need to be specific because they're equipped.
So they would be covered under Pharaoh solos. I think also on his feet, doesn't it list the fact that models return war beasts that were destroyed this turn cannot activate, which is a rule in itself. But they just iterate it on his feet just to be sure people don't try to break the game.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's cool. I love soul food. I think soul food is amazing.
There is a reason it specifically lists Roshan Brine, actually.
Oh, what's that?
Because Brine is a character war beast.
Ah, okay, fair enough.
There we go.
That's the trouble with all of them are always named specifically at the moment.
Fair enough.
When they're in tiers and stuff, they're always specific.
Yes, soul food. Soul food is amazing. It's Blood Boon plus. Blood Boon, when you destroy an enemy war beast, so downside, you lose doing it on anything. Bonus, cast the destroyed war beast Sanimas without spending fury. Oh man, so it's just some of the applications you can do with that. Troll player flips up, troll player puts Mauler and Mauler next to each other, injure the Mauler, you've got this member, put Battle Lust up on yourself, and then charge in, kill the Mauler, put Rage on yourself.
Dismember doesn't require them to be damaged. Dismember's the additional die against War Beasts.
I'm thinking of
Slaughterhouses.
Slaughterhouses again, yeah.
You might want to consider a couple of days off from the rules forums after this.
Get something
a couple of days off talking, actually.
Get something low, charge him in, so get them all up to like 2-3 hit points, charge him in, kill it, cast Rage on yourself, and then buy attacks into Maul. Mulg.
You'd be dead at that point, I think. But yes.
Yeah, it's an interesting tactic. I'll give you that one.
I don't know. Charge
my Warcaster at a mauler that stood next to Mog. No, thanks. Yeah.
You could.
Alternatively, run the other way.
Yeah, that'd be me.
What, you would go up to, like, PNS 16...
I just
launched slaughterhouses at them with battle last tanks.
Yeah, actually, that sounds far better. Just have, you know, a unit of the... Which one's the rifles?
The brigands.
Yeah, the brigands. Hope you take a point off with one of them.
Yep. I find the gunball, it's what the gunball is really good for. It's about the only thing it's good for. But gunball is good for chipping a wound off of the... I think I sent three slaughterhouses at Ravagor after the gunball clipped it, and they went at it, and it just gone.
Oh, don't forget he's got cursed bone grinders as well. Just
yeah, I can't work that out. I can't work that out at all.
So that he can charge things and do more things, I don't know.
Admittedly, whatever he curses has to be within 8 inches of him.
Be that mole that stood next to the mauler.
Oh. Yeah, valid, yeah.
But
so does he get the benefit of curse then as well? Because he's obviously
he's a bone grinder.
Yep, he can curse for his own benefit.
So, essentially, he can become Mat 8 on a whim.
Yay!
Good. I got Mat 8 with a... Was it 7? With effective speed 7 for charges. That's unpleasant, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I like him. He's lovely.
Okay.
A fine addition.
One goes as far as saying he's lovely.
Oh, he's lovely.
Well, let's move on to the one last one that we have then from our highlights. It's the Nephilim Bloodseer. Not heard much about this one, if I'm honest. So, Alex, it was one of your choices, so...
Yeah. There's a couple of things I liked on this one.
Haircut?
Yeah, pretty much.
We'll go through the joke of melee weapons, Isle of Sight.
Yeah, melee weapons, Isle of Sight, yeah. We'll start, as I did with the Despoiler, with its Animus. He's basically when an enemy model casts a spell within 5 inches of the model that's cast it. Again, it's just another self-Animus. Increase the cost of the spell by 1. Enemy models cannot upkeep spells on models within 5 inches of this model, which lasts for 1 round. And that, to me, that screams... The first part is kind of a bonus, but it's really the second part that is the big part of that for me. It's
crazy
lock that up next to a unit that's been, you know, had an upkeep spell put on it and just get rid of it.
You just need to catch one member of that unit, yeah. And that's you sorted, because... If one model can't be affected by the upkeep anymore, it drops off the mold.
Yeah.
Which is crazy good.
Yeah. So as I say, that's kind of, it's very good. And as well, I mean, I suppose you can put that on the Warcaster, cast that on themselves if someone's putting upkeep spell on the caster. It's get rid of the upkeep spell.
Yep. If it's an offensive upkeep, they're just going to cast it at you again.
Yeah. But he's making them spend the fury or focus again.
Yeah, that's true.
It's also got, I mean, flight, it's by the by, primal magic, so it can use the enemies of a friendly faction, non-character war beast in its command range.
So basically, it can be another Tenacity bot.
No. So everyone who said is that the Archangel's Animus is shit can cast the Archangel's Animus on the Bloodseer.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, I suppose you could.
I can't see any other self-animuses out in Legion having a quick sort of go through in my head.
It's not doesn't have to necessarily be self, it can cast any animus.
Yeah, I know, any animus. So it can cast a tenacity, it can cast a spiny growth throughout the plenty of year.
The one that turns off tough, which, ugh.
The Night Lurker's Animus, but...
Oh yeah, Wraithbane, that's there as well.
So, yeah, it just takes that whole slew of... crazy good animi and says pay 5 points and you can
again, need help with their animi.
Yeah.
But well, they've got no fury management either, so you know.
Why has it got telemetry?
Telemetry, for people who don't know, other friendly faction models gain +2 to magic attack rolls against enemy models within 5 inches of this model.
It's like mark the target for magic.
Has anybody else had that before? Has anybody had telemetry before?
No.
Is that new? There's
a very similar one in Circle, I believe, that's not quite the same.
I like the fact that it's not even within line of sight or, you know, anything like that. It's just
marked the target. It's marked the target, but for magic attack rolls.
Horrendous.
It's very horrific.
Yeah.
For 5 points, this model is crazy good. Luckily, it has bugger all hit points, though it is R18. And that can obviously be 20.
The Liliths are there going, oh yeah, I'll have one of those.
Yeah, it's very good, very good. It makes Hex Hunters viable as well.
They're really pretty decent. So.
Well, yeah, no, more viable, shall we say.
Yeah. and it allows the Black Frost Shard to more reliably land harm as well.
Yeah, that's that as well.
Not that they needed the help.
I was gonna say.
It's more of an expansion of Legion into that sort of magic user area, I think.
Is this the first lesser beast to have a threshold of 10?
It's not a lesser.
It's not a lesser light. Beast, a light beast.
Is that the first squeaky drill we've had for a while?
Sorry.
I'm going to say squeaky. I don't know. I don't know enough about the war beast. No,
I think he probably is. I think he probably is. We haven't had a character axe yet.
To actually, you know, you can fill it up and still sort of be at, what is it, sixes or lower to not frenzy, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's as well, I mean, the little things as well, it's got Brutal Charge on its gaff as well, so it goes up to Mach 7.
Yeah, and it is a model with reach as well, so...
Yep.
Actually, that is something you probably would have to watch out for with telemetry.
What do you mean it goes up to Mach 7? It's got Brutal Charge is the plus 2 to damage. Yeah.
It's Power 14.
Powerful Charge is the one you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Diamond, dude.
Quite why they've got those two rules named so similarly.
Together.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's all that can be said for our highlights of the book.
They were brief.
Yeah.
Start and buy it. Yay.
I think, to be honest, from looking through it, there is a lot of good stuff in this book.
Gargantuan's was an ace book, and I'm just impressed by how quiet PP kept a lot of the stuff in here. Yeah, yeah. We knew a fair chunk of it, but it's nothing like Colossals, where we opened the book and we all knew what everything had.
And to be honest...
That was a tedious book to open, I found, whereas this is lovely.
I was going to say, I don't think any faction can walk away from this going, it's like, there's a lot of good stuff. Regardless of who you are, you have got something in there that is pretty much solid gold, and you can take it and run with it. Like, even if it's not necessarily...
Hey, even Merc's got a release in this book.
Yes. So...
Have we discussed that?
No, we're not going to. It's not on the highlight list. Okay.
Goblin Tinker.
Yeah, there we go.
Mercenary Repairer.
Oh, shut up, Alex. We want people to buy the book. Or War Room and buy all the cards. Your choice.
By the point this podcast goes out, most people have already bought the book.
If they can find the book.
Because
they have... Well, yeah, I was going to say, at least one local shop has been a bit sold out of books.
Yes, Titan Games.
So... They kind of went, we've only got one left, and it's reserved for Austin Pickles.
And I sat there going, give it to me. I'm here, I'm spending money, just give it to me. Look, I handed you the money, now give me the book. And they went, no.
He's a powerful man, is the Chew.
The Chew does have a lot of sway in the War Machine community, let's face it.
I did, however, walk into the shop. This was the day the Tempest Blazers were released. Picked mine up off the shelf and bought them. Then proceeded to sit in the shop for the next hour.
Anyway,
I'm convinced.
How many people went? How many people made that noise while you're buying it?
Or went zap?
I'm convinced the other four Sigma players that walked into the shop to buy them, so the shop was sold out on the first day.
They're gonna hate you, guys. Those guys are
gonna
hate you.
Arcane Tempest Storms donkeys.
Arcane Tempest Gun Ponies. Gun Ponies.
Gun donkeys.
Gun ponies. They are dirt donkey. They are dirt ponies. But
dirt donkeys.
Anyway, should we wrap the show up?
No, I was going to say, we do have to have a quick discussion of some little bits of, not quite PR or whatever, but...
We were talking about the Big Four, weren't we?
Yes.
So Welsh Open.
Welsh Open, we've been asked by Martin if we would talk briefly about the Welsh Open.
There are still lots of tickets available.
Yeah.
There are loads. Contact Martin repetitively and at length for more tickets available.
For next year, for the year 2014.
His first number is...
The Welsh Open is a fantastic event that takes place every year at Firestorm Games, and...
If you've not got a ticket yet, screw you, because it's sold out.
Yeah, it is sold out, and the competition for places is very high, but that I think that just shows what a good event it is. I think this year it's a 64-player event.
64-player, six-man master-styling event.
Yeah, complete with Deathbox, which is a bit of a rarity in the UK. So.
That'd be awesome. I we're a big fan of the Watch Open, except Alex, who I read somewhere you believe it smells of cabbage.
That would be your own tweet, Mr. Hansen, that you made it yourself. I've never said that it smells of cabbage, even though I may have thought it from time to time.
There we go.
Oh, sorry, I do go somewhere.
Are we all going to be at the Welsh Open this year, or is it?
No.
Alex, I'm not coming.
Okay, there we go. I will be there, sort of casting a hateful eye over people.
Open will be the last event I'm playing in this year, last big event I'm playing in this year. Everything else I'm either judging or not attending, unfortunately.
Well, there we go.
I'll be there shouting abuse at a certain judge.
Okay. Well, you know, hang on. It's 50-50 between me and Martin here.
So Kurt, are we going to be doing our usual Welsh Open tradition of losing the first day and drinking heavily on the evening?
I have put it out there that I intend to drink heavily on Saturday night, regardless of how well I do. I intend to turn up on Sunday morning with sunglasses on with a massive hangover.
This sounds like fun.
There's somebody mentioned absinthe, finding a bar with absinthe in Cardiff. Can't be possible.
Challenge accepted.
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
I am actually going to another tournament the weekend of the Welsh Open, though.
Is it in your living
room? No, Andy from UK is hosting
Andy from UK.
Yeah, hosting a tournament in Nottingham.
Oh, is that his first event?
Yeah. Popping pints in the gears.
I do remember hearing about that one. So, yes.
I'm looking forward to going to that.
Okay, so the next one on the list is the UK Games Expo Masters. Tickets have just gone on sale for that one. I think they've sold about 25, 26 at this point.
Yeah, not selling out as fast.
It's not selling out as fast, but I think that's because there are far more Masters events this year, and there's, we'll get onto that one anyway. But it's £30 for a 2-day event in Birmingham. Well,
yeah.
At the NEC. It
seems like a good idea.
So, I will be there. And I'll be, again, judging. That's a bit of a theme, really.
I take it you're not staying over, though, are you? I take it you're going home.
Well, being as it's about half an hour from my house...
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I thought, I could stay at this hotel and pay out several £100s, or I could just go home.
That's the thing for me I've got a problem with at the moment, is that people I know who are keen to go aren't going to stay. So the social scene of an evening is going to be a bit kind of, oh.
I'm staying.
Are you going?
I'm going, and I'm staying.
He's staying and going altogether.
Okay.
There we go. Yes, so UK Games Expo Masters tickets on sale now. I'm sure we'll put a link in the show notes or something.
I've been putting a calendar up, so I'll put links in the calendar in the show notes. That'll be fine. Yep. It's timed turns.
Yes, that one is a timed turns Masters, which was specifically requested by myself actually, and topic on PP's forums where they released the new Masters pack and went, yeah, it's Death Clock only. And people in the UK went,
I like Death Clock.
Death Clock.
It's the only one.
Death Clock is interesting, and having played an event with Death Clock.
But a few.
No, I've only played one with Death Clock. Oh, sorry, well, two, but I don't really count last year's ETC. Speaking of the ETC, the ETC is moving. It has moved to the Northwest Gaming Centre. Nick, you have the dates, I believe.
It is the 17th and 18th of August. I believe I'll just check that on my trusty calendar. Yes, 17th and 18th of August.
Yep. ETC this year is back under the control of Jamie P. and Loxham, as well as Tony Moore, I think.
Yep, the three original creators of it.
Yeah. So, there have been some little concerns about the venue. However, I have heard that the venue has expanded quite considerably and has undergone some renovations. So, Northwest Gaming Centre, a lot of people are going to be there. It is a free event with preference for certain people, but that's available on the Warhammer forums. So, you'll have to read it to find out. The last one of the big events that we need to talk about is...
The UK National Masters.
Yeah, the UK National Masters. It's like, yeah, what order have they put it in?
UK National Masters and Iron Gauntlet Tournament.
Yes, which are also being held at the Northwest Gaming Centre. There's room for 128 players in the Masters and 64 players in the Iron Gauntlet. And do you have dates for those, Nick?
June, end of June.
28th and 29th.
28th,
29th. Oh, yeah. We're on the ball here. And that's going to be from what we hear, a Death Clock Masters.
29th and 30th.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I think, I just had a thought then that I think the 28th is a Friday.
So close.
Still managed to show Nick up, well done.
Yeah. So that's another one of the fine, large events that are coming up and that we are promoting. I should also just point out, the UK does have a new calendar system that we're using.
Oh, is that moving on from the Gregorian calendar? We've got a new calendar.
We do, yes.
The Topham calendar.
No.
We've got two Julys and September is 6 weeks long.
No, it's been created by
It was Conrad.
Conrad's taking it over now. Yeah, it's something I've started, but Conrad took it over, yeah.
It is available at bit.ly/ UK War Machine Events. If you want to submit anything new to the calendar, I've quite forgotten the email. However, there will be a small ad in the break, which was only in the last episode as well, but, you know.
I'll be submitting my suggestion for three Julys in this new calendar, I think.
Well, if you want to, you can feel free to email that address and the people who are admitting the calendar, which I think is Tim Martin, was it Liam Jordan? Conrad?
The list on TWF, I haven't been in a long time.
I've heard of all of them.
Yeah, various people are admitting the calendar, and they're all sorting things out. So there will be an advert in the break, you'll just have to wait to hear it. And it's very useful, so please use it. We encourage you wholeheartedly. Right, well, that being said, I think we're going to go for a break, and we'll see you all on the other side. Are you looking for affordable terrain for your tabletop and your bases? Then try Terrain Geek. They have a growing range of hobby supplies, including Army Painter and Cote d'Armes paints. All this and more is available at www.terraingeek.com. They are also contactable on Twitter at Terrain Geek. Are you in the UK? Do you want to know when the latest War Machine and Hordes events are? Visit bit.ly/ UK War Machine Events for the most up-to-date calendar. Submit your own events to the calendar by emailing ukwarmachineandhordesevents@gmail.com.
Okay, so welcome back from the break. I'm going to look at spelling it out now. And on the same theme as the show already with the review of the Gargantuan's book, we're going to look at one of the new warlocks from Gargantuan's, and that would be Makeda and the Exalted Court, who is in fact a warlock unit. But we're not going to look into too much of that. We're going to look at a spell list first of all, obviously.
Well, you know, it is spelling it out, so...
It is indeed. The first thing to notice, though, is a Fury of Six. So just to keep that in mind when we're looking through these spells. The first spell is Eliminator, and that is a cost 3, range 8, AoE 3, power 13, non-upkeepable offensive spell. And the blurb reads that immediately after the attack is resolved, this model can advance up to 2 inches for each enemy model destroyed by the attack. Obviously, this model being Makeda.
Yeah.
Discuss.
It's interesting. I don't think it's really there much for outside of her feat turn, although we'll discuss that later. But it's something I've used a couple of times with Epic Butcher, and It's got its uses, particularly when you're sort of, I'm a couple of inches short on this. I'll just move forward a bit more with this attack. Possibly a bit more useful for her, obviously with Fury rather than Focus, but...
Especially with that feat.
Yeah, but we'll discuss that later.
I was just thinking, I was meaning after Second Resolve, I was rereading the spell again. I could be an assassination kind of maneuver. Yeah. Thinking about how you use Ephiora with Fire Step potentially. I mean, every time I've done it, I've died, but... It's well, it's true, isn't it? It's potentially a trap. Like Fire Step can be a trap. You can charge in. You can pop that against the target. You can then kill that thing and then take out the rest of your melee attacks. I mean, she's not shy in melee either, is she? Let's be fair. And
Mat 8, PNS 15 with reach.
Yeah, she's way more effective than she used to be in melee. In fact, there's just potential there to gain 2 inches.
It just reinforces that whole thing of Makeda being fast and capable of coming from some very odd angles.
I thought you were saying then for a minute.
She's had movement shenanigans in every iteration.
Yeah.
You know, she's been able to tweak the way that either she or her army manoeuvres in every version of her, this being her third, for those not keeping count. So there's some options there. We'll maybe discuss it a little bit more when we look at the feats in a little while. But the next spell on the list is Ground Zero. Again, cost 3. This time it's ranged self, AoE 5, power 13, non-upkeepable, non-offensive spell. It's a centre of the 5-inch AoE on this model. Each other model in the AoE is hit and suffers a power 13 damage roll. Each enemy model damaged by Ground Zero is pushed d6 inches directly away from this model in the order you choose.
Now,
if they survive it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just to sort of make a note here, this does affect the two Exalted Guardians that are with her.
Yes. So, well, one thing to note there is with the wording is that the enemy models are pushed away, but all models hit are damaged.
Yeah.
So you can't use it to push maybe one of your war beasts out of the way. You know, if you've maybe lined something up wrong or something's been slammed in the way and you want to get something of your own that's been slammed in the way and you want to get it out of the way, you can't use it for that. It can only be used for literally pushing enemy models or damaging your own models or enemy models as well, but yeah.
Quite why you'd want to hit an Exalted Guardian with a power 13.
Well, you know, it's I don't know, it's...
I think it's a spell that's got a place, and certainly I've used it quite a bit with Karchev, when people have gone, I'll just crowd everything up around you, you can't move now. Okay, I'll start my turn with Ground Zero. Everything dies.
Everything doesn't die, shoved out of my way, here I come.
Yeah. Pretty good when you've got something like Kayazi or Winterguard or Gun Mages or anything like that that's going to be sort of decently together.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much everything that's in reach range that'll be hit for her.
And they've errated it. Have they errated it or they just ruled it now so that it works with magic effects? Yay.
The change for her is largely irrelevant. It's more that Silas Wishnailer's ability, Arcane Secrets, works with Ground Zero now, whereas previously it didn't. So that affects all
like
of
a two-player game, and I don't know, isn't it +2 to damage roll off that new thing that Legion got? If you're having a two-player, two-faction game, that would work.
I mean, going back, sorry, to what you were saying about the Exalted Champions or Guardians, whatever they're called, they don't have to be within 2.5 inches of their.
No, but if they are, There is every likelihood that one of them could be within that distance of her because they've got Shield Guard.
But then you don't cast it.
Depends on the situation, but yes.
It's so situational, but could be very, very handy. I think
definitely. Absolutely.
And if it's the difference between winning, I mean, if you've got some models in there that you need to push out of a zone in order for your warlock to dominate a certain objective, the difference between winning and losing a game, then who cares if you kill the Exalted Champion? I should really look at what they're called. Exalted Court.
Who is it who plays Scorpion?
Exalted Guardian.
Well, to be honest, with Ground Zero as well, if you've got a zone and Makeda's in there, you've got two bunches of models, she can actually do start the activation, Ground Zero, move Ground Zero again, and potentially push two sets of models out.
Yeah,
definitely.
So
I just want to check, is it me that plays Scorn?
I thought Alex got rid of his Scorn, actually.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
He's defending Alex.
He's still open to mockery, just not quite as much.
Oh.
Sorry, what now? Scorn are the new bandwagon, aren't they?
No, that's Circle.
Oh, is it?
No, I think Scorn are coming out well from the last book. I mean, I know obviously Circle got Imorvana, but you know, from what I've heard,
I think to be honest, there's just 11 different bandwagons all heading in different directions. It's just that the Minions one hasn't started off yet.
I'm on it first. I just like to point out, whenever you jumps on the minion bandwagon, I've been here for ages. Yeah, but it's then, quite fun, but it's, you know,
then
it's
you jump back off and you're holding onto the rope that's trailing behind the circle one.
Do you know how many circle models I own currently? I'm looking at all my circle models.
Is it three?
No.
Four?
Is it none?
No.
Is it one?
Yeah.
Is it a Stalker?
I've had him for ages. No, I've had him for ages. I've got P. Kruger, and I've had him for a very long time. I picked him up with a few other bits on eBay when I was buying stuff for Jay, my brother-in-law, and of course he already had him, so I hung on to it thinking, I might do a bit of circle. And he's been loitering, hasn't even gone in the case, he just loiters around on the shelf every so often. Looking
is it so, actually built and everything?
Yep, not painted, he's just bare metal. Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, fascinating. Moving on.
Yeah. Next.
Oh, Bakeda. Bakeda, right, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at. So yeah, the next spell is Sunhammer, which is again cost three. It's a bit of a running theme so far. Range self, AoE control. There's no power. It's an upkeep spell that's not offensive. And it says enemy warbeast, stroke warjacks that advance more than 1 inch and their normal movement in this model's control area suffer D3 damage points.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, that sounds it's amazing.
It's an upkeep though.
Yeah. But it's also only a 12-inch control area.
Yeah. It's not amazing.
Mosar's got it as well, and it's like, he's got an 8-inch, the 16-inch control area, and it's like, and? So, but, therefore.
I thought that was a new spell, actually. Is there a new spell, or is that Eliminator? No, none of them are new.
No.
None of them are new. She's got no spell of her own.
Eliminator from E-Butcher, Ground Zero's from Gorton of Karchev, Sunhammer's from Mosar, and Vortex of Destruction is...
it was Madrak.
Raven?
Madrak did have it. Yeah, it's been around. Somebody else
Raven
has
been around, sure.
Have it.
But yeah, Sunhammer...
I wonder if it's because she's a melee caster primarily, therefore she doesn't have her own unique quotes as well.
Isn't Sunhammer the really, really bad spell that Constance Blaze had?
No.
No. I knew the guy that plays that faction.
Mercs? Nah, that's Mike.
Mercs? Constance Blaze Mercs?
Yeah.
Is that how that works now, is it?
Yeah.
Signar are like, nah, we don't want it.
Signar are like, our faction consists of almost nothing if we don't want to do.
Tell you what, we're only going to take the broken models from now on. So.
Freakers, right? They're all mercenaries. They're worth anyone. What?
Right.
Yeah. Blessed gun ponies. That's all I'm going to say.
Fucking gun ponies.
Storm donkeys. Fucking Timber Storm donkeys.
There we go. Should we move on to a last spell?
I think we probably should, and this is the one that books the trend of the cost. It's Vortex of Destruction. It costs two. It's a ranged self. No AoE, no power. Upkeepable, non-offensive spell. And it says damage rolls against any models in this model's melee range are automatically boosted. And I'm fairly certain that is from Raven.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy, boosted.
Oh, just
got it, Jimmy.
Boosted, not additional.
Don't go there. I was been there. I don't know where you go with that.
Yeah.
Is our Jimmy been playing naughty tricks again?
He's been playing it as additional die rather than boosted.
Well, he was playing it that way up until Food Machine, where he tried an assassination run on Gorton. Got halfway through. He got one focus left to spend. And I'd already asked him, Jimmy, are you sure that's an additional die rather than boosted? And he looked at the card and went, yeah, it's additional. Put the card down, and someone else walked up when he'd only got one focus left and went, you do realise that that's boosted rather than additional. So he had to rerun the entire assassination.
Nice.
Which cost him the game.
Yeah, so it should do. So you have 15.
Yeah. Strength of Granite Gorton the next turn was just like, okay, Raven's here with no focus. It's party time.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still a good spell, though. I mean, for someone who has multiple melee weapons, as Makeda doesn't anymore, he's still good.
Well, what it does is it really benefits, partially, the rest of her unit, because the Exalted Guardians have two hand weapons each.
Yeah.
And that means you can charge in and get a boosted one on the second attack as well.
Yeah.
Or just walk in and get two boosted attacks. Yeah. Or park her next to a warjack or warbeast and watch it die horribly without having to spend any fury on any of your warbeasts as you sort of walk up to it and punch it and it falls over.
Gosh.
Always nice to do.
Now, what's confusing about this is I was convinced that a Trollcaster had this, and I think it was one of the Madraks in one of the betas.
Epic Madrak did in beta. It was the same point where he didn't have reach.
Was it, Ray?
Yeah.
God, dear. I remember, I've seen it, and I've used it, and I'm like, I recognize this, but it's not in any of my trolls. No, and yes, they are my, and yes, they are my trolls. Moving on.
All right, calm down. It should be noted as well that Vortex of Destruction does work with ranged attacks, you know.
Yeah.
If you're feeling particularly risky and want to shoot your own Warcaster, go for it.
Wow.
Well, she wouldn't damage rolls against 19 in...
Wow.
Ooh, actually, that does work well with Slingers and Colossals, doesn't it? Move her in, Vortex of Destruction.
It's almost a shame she can't knock herself down.
Well, no, she'd lose her melee range then.
She wouldn't be engaging, but the thing would still be... in her melee range. No, you're losing melee range. Can't have it both ways. Can't have it both ways, can you? No.
If only she were a wrestler.
But then she'd still be engaging instead of the melee bonus. She's still at +4 defense.
Yeah, you'd still be able to hit her really easily.
We're talking about hypothetical situations there that will never, ever happen.
All okay, right. The three may well be able to turn into a wrestler at some point. How can you say it'll never happen?
Yeah, okay.
It's very likely, to be honest. It's very, very likely.
It's highly likely.
Moving on.
She is at +2 armor in that situation as well, though. So shooting somebody else who has boosted damage roll, she's armor 19. Because that's really relevant as well.
She defends 19, though. That's the important part. You really are unlikely to hit her with most things. But
yeah, true.
If you can knock down what you're shooting at, that's
I said, with Colossals and Slingers, you're up to, what is it, 4 damage dice with the Slingers at that point?
I just realised... She can cast any of her abilities with Bloodboon, can't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Spells. Not abilities. Cool. Spells.
That's pretty cool.
That is relevant. She does only have the one attack, but once per activation, she can... If she destroys a living enemy model.
Just jumping about a bit from the whole kind of inspiration, it's not just Praetorians or anything she's allows to automatically rally and never flee. It's every score model.
Yep.
Oh, inspiration scored, yes.
Wow.
It's what E. Kruger has put for Circle, obviously.
If E. Kruger had Inspiration Scorn, that would be hilarious in some ways, but no. I think we should probably move on to her feet.
That'd be wise. It might be wise also if I actually open that up. The feat is Dance of Death, and again, we implore people to actually say that they're using Dance of Death as opposed to I'm casting my feet.
I think do a little jig. As well.
Point to your feet and do a little jig. You're using your feet, yeah.
Never mind. the text for Dance of Death reads, "Few can compare with..." No, we're not going to read that bit.
It reads fluff here. Doesn't do anything.
If you had read that out, there would just be a fast-forwarding noise.
That would be good. That'd be very good.
When a model in Makeda's battle group destroys one or more enemy models in her control area with an attack, either Makeda can gain 1 Fury point or 1 Fury point can be removed from a model in her battle group that is in her control area. Dance of Death lasts for 1 turn.
And the Guardians do count as part of her battle group.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't remove Fury from them, can you?
No, but they can obviously put Fury onto her.
But she also counts as part of her battle group.
Yep, she does.
She kills stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, you activate, you pop the feet, the two guardians go in. Theoretically, they can kill 2 things each because they've got 2 attacks. So that's 4 extra fury, and it puts it up to fury 10. She can then kill something, up to fury 11. Cast something for free, I don't know, Vortex of Destruction, and then buy attacks on Galleon until it's dead.
One thing ground. Oh, she can't smack it first, can she? Yeah, anyway, yeah. Yeah, it's quite a lot of them. So with the Warcaster units... Caster can activate, cast a spell, unit can move. Other members, they can't move and attack, because then she has to move when they move.
Yeah, so activate, pops feet, get a charge order or a move order, then attack. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they attack first and...
Yeah, they attack first, give her the fury, she attacks last, gets a fury, and then does whatever she wants to do with the rest of her activation.
Yeah. There's some interesting conundrums there.
Well, you've got the nigh-on infinite bronze back, for a start.
Yes. The bronze feet back that just keeps going till everything in her control area is dead. I mean, the big thing about this is that that it has to destroy a model within her control area.
Yeah.
So it's still only a certain bubble. So in theory, Crusher is better than this feat. In theory, just because of the reach of it, that it can keep going.
Yeah, but Crusher's also only a 10-inch control area.
No, in Crusher, the model doing the attacking has to be in the control area, whereas...
Yeah, I know, but the control area is smaller.
Yeah, and it could be a Mountain King. Could. Won't be, but could.
It's Molg, usually, but yeah.
So you've got the edge of Molg, then you've got a large base, and then you've got the reach range on Molg to get the last movement, so in theory you can reach further.
Bit. Yeah, true. Yeah, just further.
So
potentially up to 14 rather than 12.
Yeah, well, a bit further than that.
No, it's about right.
10-inch control, 2-inch base, 2-inch reach.
Is a large base 2 inches? Okay. Yeah.
Yes. It's actually just shy of...
Yeah, about 14 then, yeah.
How have you got this far into the game without realising a large base is roughly 2 inches?
What's your whole life?
But no, the feet also has potential with things like Moloch and sidestep.
Yeah.
That works.
Do well.
Yeah, it's like, I'll move in and boost a hit or boost damage with the... Well, actually, no. Boost hit with the charge attack. Yeah, I'll take that off again. What?
Yep.
It's horrendous.
Pushes it a lot further.
One thing you need to be watchful for, though, is that you don't screw yourself over with Fury. At the end of the turn, you don't kind of get to it and think, oh, shit, I've actually got no Fury to kill next turn.
Yeah.
Quick, cast all the animuses.
Yeah, not to get too carried away.
I'm actually just waiting for someone to play... Makeda 3 against a Krix army with lots and lots of Mechanithralls, and just watch the Bronzeback play Pac-Man with them.
Oh no, I did that recently with the Daughters of the Flame. Daughter of the Flame went into this pack I was playing against, Epic Gorshade, and went into the first one, went dink, auto wound, explode. She died, but still the ones behind. And then they all took out, and they took a Holomore out, and they took a Holomore out. And there was about 3 left out of the 12 that guide on the table at the start.
Oh, is that the scrap thralls?
Yep.
I was more talking about the mechanic thralls and just watch your bronze back slowly eat along the
units. I thought you meant getting it wrong, right? Getting it wrong and stranding himself and having nothing in range when you go, yes, I shall change through all of these, I shall win by getting, oh, they've all exploded. Oh, shit.
No, I'm talking about the proper Pac-Man.
Oh, I see. Sorry, yep. Pac-Man.
So,
yes, that would be very impressive because he would never end. It wouldn't run out after 4 or 5 Fury, would it? It'd be like, yeah.
I think that's the point he's trying to make, Kurt.
Yes, and then sadly he gets to the Raiders and can't hit anymore. But, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, throw enough Fury at it and you're bound to hit something.
But then you're running down on Fury, aren't you, then?
Yeah, but...
Yeah, it might end up with even 1 or even 2 Fury on it at the end of the turn after eating all of the Krix army. Terrible.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's going to hurt Infantry Machine more than Beast Heavy or Jack Heavy.
Or at least has the potential to.
Indeed.
Yeah. So.
So is that her done for spelling it out? Is there anything else that
I think say about her? About the only other thing that probably perhaps needs mentioning with Makeda and her Exalted Guardians is the fact that if you're playing against her, do you remember that both of the Guardians have Shield Guard? Because that will probably come up.
Yeah, each one.
You shoot her twice. Yeah, each one once per turn. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're armor 18.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, and if any of them have been damaged, any of the 3 of them, then they're armor 20.
Oh, so the first one you hit is armor 18. Second time you hit,
yeah,
even worse.
So you know, bear that in mind.
Yeah, food for thought.
I was wondering what stat improved this time. Which stat of hers improved this time? Is it the armor? She's two. She's got two. One higher mat and one higher armor than her prime. I don't know how the epic is. She's gained those 2 stats somewhere.
Yeah, let's have a look.
She's mat 7 and def 15 armor 16 in primal. Whereas here she's mat 8 and armor 17. So she's gained an armor and gained a mat from each of her epic enhancements.
She was mat 7 in Supreme Archdominer.
So she's got to about 8 then, isn't she? That's what she's gained. Yeah. She's become much more melee-centric in general, perhaps. She got reach. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, she gained reach, but lost 2 attacks. Well, lost an attack, rather. Okay, also, PNS practice. 15.
Yeah.
Going up to 17 if one of them's been damaged.
Seems strong.
That's going to hurt.
Really. Just remember that if you have battle driven up already and it procs again, it doesn't refresh. It expires when the first one expires.
It only really applies if she's taking something like a free strike or one of those AoEs that damage on an opponent's on your own turn. But yeah, which is really weird. I'd have thought they'd have had the best terminology for it. I thought they'd have had the buff refreshing, but
nope, apparently doesn't not. Refresh.
There's a specific rule in the rulebook for it, isn't there?
Yep.
Basically, it takes the first time it went on as the only time, essentially.
Yeah.
So, okay. We'll think we're done with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess the only thing left is to move on to the painting table. Sponsored by Terrain Geek.
Woo, Terrain Geek.
I need to order me some more new Terrain Geek base toppers. I'm almost out.
I have still have several bagfuls of Terrain Geek base toppers to go, because I have the little wall shrimps to glue together at some point. There's a lot of work to be done there. A lot of pinning to very small areas, and it makes me sad.
I can't really say anything to that, because I don't find it that difficult.
You've seen the wall shrimp?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
He's planning to paint some albino wall shrimps.
Albino, yeah, I think that's definitely the new, yeah, I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I'm pondering my painting scheme for the circle that's obviously in April Fool.
I thought you were going, like, multicoloured blue.
Oh, yeah, for good measure, we are recording on April Fool's Day, so anything we may have said in this podcast may be incorrect, and it may be
Makeda's not a unit, by the way. It's a computer.
Hang on. Anything we said in this podcast may be incorrect, so totally different to normal, then.
Totally.
And but it may be on purpose this time. They'll never know.
Yeah. Reference. Nick's the same on April Fool as he is normally.
Anyway.
Seeing as Nick, you seem so, you know, engaged by the whole podcast, why don't you go first and tell us what's on your painting table?
Nothing. Sure. No, I've been doing more of a building. So I've got some gun ponies that are pinned, but they're not
storm
glued
donkeys.
In place.
Arcane Tempest, Storm Donkey.
Mostly because I want to be able to paint. Mostly because I want to be able to paint the horses separately. So
and then throw them in the bin.
A winner is Alex.
I think so.
I've got a box of plastic horses that somebody sent me, some very generous soul sent me a while ago. I'm sure I can find you something that looks a bit better than those things.
Just get a lump of green stuff. Don't even bother sort of, you know, sculpting it into anything.
Mike,
just
forget,
put a lump of green
you're stuff. A press ganger now.
And so, but therefore.
Positivity. Positivity, Mike.
I am largely positive. I'm still replacing those horses because I don't personally like them. However, that is a matter of personal
taste. I struggle with is why you think plastic fake cat poo looks better. Like, I'm not saying it looks worse than marrying gum mages on the little upward curl. I don't quite get that. But, you know, it's your choice.
Now, let's stop being mean to Nick now.
Well,
whoa. Let's not say things we can't take back.
The horses aren't his fault. Using them, maybe, but the horses aren't his fault.
I love so much of what PP does in miniatures.
I'm using them in Striker 1. It's not even like it's evil.
Okay.
You're playing P Striker?
Why not?
That's a new turn for you. I didn't think you liked him. But anyway, so that's your painting table.
Yeah, some gun ponies that have been pinned that I want to paint the horses separately and then the riders, so I'll glue them all after that. And some storm blades that people on Twitter will have seen me swearing about.
I'd like to go out on a limb and say, I'm sure, I haven't looked, but I'm sure in the App Store and on the Google Marketplace, there are donkey sound effects you can find to put on your phone to play at your opponent if they feel Storm Donkey. I haven't looked yet, but I will, shortly.
The worst thing is they've actually given the unit the Electro Leap attack, so they are proper Storm Donkeys.
They're not immune to electricity, are they?
No, but they have an Electro Leap attack.
Good.
Which is going to be great the first time it rebounds onto them.
I'm going to play with the no quarter version of the rules. Is that okay?
The no quarter version.
Of yeah, no quarter's got a misprint on the range and says they're range 12, whereas they're actually only range 10.
No, we don't need speed 9 stuff with range 12 attacks.
It's what it says it is in the book.
Yes, but we've already had a ruling on that one, so...
I think what Nick's done there is reinforce myself for people to play donkey noise sound effects at it.
Anyway...
It's alright, I'll do the same when people start to put the ice donkeys on the table.
You knock yourself out.
Anyway, Kurt...
Oh, hello.
What's on your painting table?
People, right now, already said.
Sorry? What was that?
People. Pete Krug, wasn't it?
It was Pete Kruger he was
he's
talking
up on
about
the
earlier.
And he's bare metal, so I think that qualifies as on my painting table. Stuff on my painting table was never bare metal.
I was painting Epic Mickey 2 earlier. Does that count as painting?
No.
Metal Mickey 2.
Epic Mickey 2. He runs around with a paintbrush and squirts at people.
No!
Moving on!
Is that the adult version?
It's okay. His friend's got a remote that gives electric shots.
So, Kurt, what's really on your painting table?
I am desperately trying to finish off a minimum unit of Temple Flame Guard for my ever-increasing Menoth. And I also have, get ready for it, cleansers.
Oh, okay.
That are just been started. I also have, they've been primed and just touched up, a second Exemplar Errant UA. Very nice. Their favourite. Everybody should have two of those, even if they don't play Menoth.
So you're ramping up that Ikrios Theme Force just a little bit more?
No, see, good call, but you're wrong.
Oh,
okay. It's not Ikrios you can use two UAs in.
Now I'm confused and lost.
No, none of the Krios give you an extra Errant UA.
Interesting.
Someone else does, yeah.
Interesting.
No, yes, it's not him. It gives you free Seneschal and horrible stuff like that. It's way worse. I'm a 3-point Seneschal that can slam anything. Fantastic. But yes, that's what I'm doing. I've been fighting painting recently. I need to get back into it. Get back on the horse in a more domineering fashion.
I think that sounds just a little bit too risque for this show, to be honest.
Get the donkey sound effects ready, I think, for that. Yeah, so more Menoth.
Fair enough. Alex?
New toys.
New toys?
Mm.
War Machine toys?
Well, not War Machine.
No, Playmobil.
What faction do I play?
Imagine X Batman.
Yeah, pretty much. No, it is the Delectable Epic Morvana.
Yeah.
EMOV, as it was coined, I feel.
EMOV, yeah. Something like that. EMOV.
Morvana is just ridiculous. And the model is lovely.
Yeah. Got some frustratingly placed mould lines. But aside from that, it's...
I think I opened the box on mine. It does come in surprisingly few pieces.
Really?
It could have fit in a blister.
The goat itself, I think, is largely one piece, but there's a leg and a horn.
A leg and a horn?
Yeah.
Does the goat itself lend to acts of violence? I don't know why I thought that. Moving on.
Anyway. Well, but yeah, so is that the entirety of your painting table, or...?
Well, there's a lot of shit on my painting table at the minute. There's lots and lots of random stuff on here. That's what I've been building this half of the podcast. Last week, when we recorded the first part of the podcast, I actually built the Skinwalker Alpha Omega Beta Tester.
Fair enough.
It's Aquarius, isn't it? A Skinwalker Aquarius is what I thought it was called.
Maybe, something like that. It's a Skinwalker UA, anyway. I assembled him, funnily enough, to be using with Imorvana.
I have one of those arriving this week at Titan Games, so it, yeah... They said a lot of people have come in to actually buy second Skinwalker Alphas for their second unit Skinwalkers just because of eating Morvana. It's like, that seems quite horrible in a way. I don't want to think about chewing through 12 or potentially up to, 22 Skinwalkers in a game.
I think my 50-point list for the Morvana is going to be full fun with their UA. Full Skinwalkers with their UA, and then a unit of Wolf Riders, and then anything else that will go in there.
Because contrary to what other people have said, you can bring back the Wolf Riders with the feet.
Yeah.
Just can. Oh. Yes, so we all spotted that one on this video.
This is the same Skinwalkers everybody thinks is rubbish.
Not anymore.
They were rubbish until the Alpha was released.
I don't think they were rubbish. I just think they weren't as good as Gatorman.
Yeah,
weren't as good as Gatorman, and they lacked the punch to be able to actually damage something. Because I mean, the UA gives them so much. What with the extra attack is just a sort of an out of the box. He's fantastic. The fact that he gives them is it Blood Drinker actual name of the ability?
Yeah,
yep.
That gets them the tokens to boost. You know, once you've killed something.
I thought Blood Drinker was the heal.
Oh, the heel, sorry, yeah. Of course, yeah, the heel.
You're
the
heel, thinking sorry, of
sorry. Tharn. I am thinking of Tharn. But no, Morvana as well. I mean, the ability to reroll the attack rolls or damage rolls.
That basically makes any army sort of about 10 to 15% better overall, yeah. Just straight away.
It's Kalandra, but you're not limited to having spent Fury to do it.
I think we've already been through all of this in the first part of the show. So
I think I was quite inappropriate about Kalandra, but just remember that I was, and it was funny.
give me epic Kalandra.
I think your girlfriend would object.
Oh dear. So
yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Okay.
Working away, getting them built. I think I'm going to move on to Wolf Riders next because I need to build those to actually go in the army.
Fair enough. See, on my painting table at the moment is, oddly enough, another table. I've had two bits of 2x4 chipboard sitting in the garage for about a year, and I've finally got a week off work where I can actually, you know, paint them up and put runners on the bottom so they fit on the table properly, and maybe put some flock on them. Don't know.
Steady.
Yeah. Well, I have actually got some nice large tubs of acrylic paint so that I can properly have it as a snowy wasteland to match my Kador bases.
You know what you should do? Undercoat it black, first of all.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, actually, you're just building up from grey. So that's not
no,
terrible.
No, don't bother with grey. Just go straight to black.
So
makes it so much easier to be white or black.
If you paint the board with textured paint, that gives you a nice hard surface. When these models fall over, they chip really nicely.
Yeah.
I haven't learned that lesson at all. I never
do. What you want to do is put some like cat litter in there as well. It's like big lumps, so your models don't actually stand up flat on the surface. Fantastic. And also when you roll dice as well, no dice will ever land flat on the table.
Cocked.
That's
cocked.
Really what you want to do.
Yeah. And then you want to play against Austin. Austin Pickles, so that he can shout cock and then dice very quietly afterwards.
I was going to say, I have seen some gaming tables where people have rolled dice and you do end up with one that is balanced so that it's on a corner at the bottom. Like, what are we going to do with this?
One thing I have seen used for tables, though, for gaming tables, is carpet. And that is quite funny because it does provide that kind of cushioning for if you do knock a model over, you know. But it also, some carpets can give you kind of quite a nice textured look as well. You know, there is the possibility for dice to dig in, if you will, to the shag.
Steady on.
Good work.
Phrasing.
Or the pile. You could call it the pile as well. Yeah.
They dig into the pile and we'll sort of stand on one corner. So that's quite amusing if you go for that. But
well,
so
then truly definitely cocked.
As many big rocks in there as you can. Try and make them as jagged as possible.
table is also used for X-Wing, is it not, Mike?
It is, yes. Well, however, for X-Wing, you'll probably get a 3x3 piece of what, black you want, felt.
Yeah,
on the top.
Just put some felt over the top of it, and then you can use the rocks to anchor it to the table and also put holes in it, so you know that every time you put it on the table, it's in the same location.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have to admit, I've got two Tuber 4s that are gaffer taped together as a hinge, and I have different colours of felt. I've got like it was cream originally, and painted inks and watered down paints all over it to give it a little deserty, rustic, deserty feel. And I've got green, which have a similar treatment, and it's nice and soft, and everything's stable, and nothing breaks when it falls over. And it's
much you could coat the table with felt, and then like brush it, and then get other pieces of felt so your terrain won't move. You're like fuzzy felt, and then little things you used to get as a kid and make pictures with. That'd be awesome, though. Yeah.
And you don't need 3D. You just do other layers of felt. So you don't have any 3D buildings. You just have fuzzy felt areas. You can cut them out and ships and dragon and stuff. It'd be great.
Have a dragon-shaped wood.
Yeah, exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
You realise with mentions of fuzzy felt, we've actually sort of, you know, completely excluded about 25% of the audience who are there going,
all right,
hell is fuzzy felt?
I know, I take that back. Other forms of felt entertainment are available. It's fine now, we're fine
are
now.
Are they really in 2013?
I
don't care.
Is fuzzy felt available in 2013?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I can't vouch for. I have small children. It is. They're still around. I'm not sure if it still is called that, or if the company that made that's still around, but you can still buy bits of boards that are a bit fuzzy and bits of felt you stick on them, definitely.
I can actually hear people going off.
Somebody's
Google
Googling. Nick is already Googling it. Nick's like, what the hell is fuzzy felt?
Well, to be fair, Nick is outrageously young, so, you know.
I think I know what you're on about with fuzzy felt. I think
what?
We used to have it in school.
I can't tell now if he's trolling or not.
Nick, when are your exams again? I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure we used to have fuzzy felt back in school.
Damn, I've clearly spoken to Nick far too much lately. I need to have a bit of a break from him because he's ignoring me when I talk bollocks.
It's the easiest way to deal with you when you start trolling, Kurt.
I'm not trolling me, though.
Trolling me?
I think... I think that
oh my god, fuzzy felt is actually still available. You got a pink and sparkly version, Kurt, just for your kids.
I'm sure there is. I think I've seen it.
And on that bombshell,
what, as opposed to the normal versions that are just for him,
I think we better hand over to Alex to sign us off before this devolves.
Of fuzzy felt.
Dragon shaped woods, I love it. I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah. Well, you have been listening to Elite Card Drink, the Hordes and War Machine podcast, brought to you by Fuzzy Felt. I've been Alex.
I've been Mike.
I've been Kurt.
And I've been trolled. No, wait, Nick.
You've been listening to Elite Cadre, a War Machine and Hordes podcast. Email us at elitecadrepodcast@gmail.com or find the whole team on Twitter at bit.ly/elitecadre. Music provided by Martin DeBont and Symphony of Spectres. And now, in a world of perfect production and seamless transitions, we bring you the chaos that lurks beneath the surface. These are the Easter eggs.
I've seen all I want to of Kev Bryant, if that's all right.
I'll try and make it a bit less radio for you, Alex, as well, okay?
Thank you.
Hello, hi, and welcome to Elite Cadre.
I'm Mike.
No.
And I play with myself.
All right, calm down. Okay, we'll start properly now. Actually, Nick, are you there?
I am.
Can you sort that out, please?
Yeah, can we put some remedies in place?
Hello and welcome to Elite Cadre, the Horde...
Before we do start,
I'm back, baby.
That's Mike storming out.
You sure it's not masturbation?
Beat his head over something.
It was.
Oh wait, that's what Alex said.
Is he putting his head in the bucket?
There are no words.
There are. There's shut up, you fucking ingrates one.
Screw you guys. Up. I'm done. You quite finished making a racket there?
I'm unboxing my storm. They're not actually too bad in real life.
Shut up.
Mike just says at this point, any opinion I have is invalid, so...
No, you just want to start the show from talking shit. Yeah.
Screw it, record next week, that's it, I'm done.
So, will you be spending this episode gluing your Morvana together?
No, I didn't spend last episode gluing Morvana together.
I assumed you'd got her by this point.
I had her last week.
Oh, so she's done?
No, not yet.
So, Mike, you'll be spending this episode gluing your Morvana together then?
No, because I can't podcast and do hobby stuff at the same time.
Wow.
So I generally have to do things like concentrate.
Fair enough.
You know, just to keep this unstoppable juggernaut of conversation trundling forwards.
I think he's being sarcastic at us, Alex.
I mean...
I have no idea what you mean.